I also want to thank Alani for her scripture reading. Before we start, I would like to just have a word of prayer with you. Dear Heavenly Father, at this very moment, we want to again invite your Holy Spirit to teach us, to be in us, to transform us, and to let us know that you are near. You are here with your people, and you will be with us until the end. We thank you for Jesus and what he came to do for each one of us. And in his name we pray. Amen. We've been studying the Gospel of Matthew. Specifically, we've been studying the Sermon on the Mount, a beautiful sermon by Jesus. Talks about, among other things, relationships. And last week, we touched a little bit on the idea of relating to God, relating to others, and relating to things. And it takes wisdom to relate to all three in the way that God wants us to relate. And I would like to focus today on Matthew chapter 6. We've been studying chapter 5, chapter 6. We're almost done. And I want to focus on Matthew chapter 6 because there's something in that chapter that I find incredibly encouraging. In moments where I'm going through difficulties, in moments where I feel discouraged, in moments where I don't necessarily understand what will happen tomorrow, I find courage in the words of Jesus to his disciples, and I believe to us today as well. So I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look at specifically verses 19 and on. Matthew chapter 6 and verses 19 and on. And here Jesus, speaking clearly, directly to his disciples, tells them about their relationship with treasures. I don't know about you, but I don't mind having treasures. I think of treasures as something valuable, something that is important, something that we cherish, we want to protect. And if I understood Peter's story this morning. Thank you, Peter, for sharing. Sometimes we focus on things, and we forget to focus on the people around those things. And this is, I think, what Jesus was trying to share with all those who were listening that day. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves what? Treasures upon earth. The reason? Where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. Who can we trust? We hear the news and we are shocked as to what's happening. Just last Friday in Santa Barbara, one of the nicer cities of California, shocking news. What a student did to his roommates and to other students on that campus. We look at the news and we look at the economy and we try to think ahead what's happening. And you only find out that nobody knows what's happening. Some people say it's going up. Some people say it's going down. And it's 50-50. You look here and there, and you don't seem to find any answers. And I believe all of them are speaking from their heart, thinking, this is what's happening. This is what's true. But the only place I have found to be always consistently right is the Word of God. Amen? That's where we can find assurance. That's where we can know. This is what we need to do. And Jesus, speaking to his disciples, invites them to set their treasures where? In heaven. That's where we're going to be able to enjoy them for all of eternity. Vernon and Kathy, our condolences as the Fallbrook Church family to you and to Tom. It's been a rough 2 months, and some of you might know, but on Monday, our dear sister passed away, Frances. and there's pain, there's hurt. How do we deal with it? How do we deal in a world that is constantly changing? Where do we find our footing? Where can we actually get a good grip of things? And we find that it seems to be getting harder and harder every day. But Jesus invites us to put our treasures where? In heaven. That which we value the most, to put it in heaven. And we know that the only thing we're going to be able to take to heaven is what? It's our character. And the only thing we're going to see from earth in heaven is going to be what? People. Nothing else. We're not taking anything from here. And this is why I think Sister White has these powerful words written in the book, Thoughts on the Mount of Blessing. Page 89. This treasure, which Christ esteems as precious above all estimate, is the riches of the glory of his inheritance, who is what? His saints. That means you and me. The disciples of Christ are called his jewels, his precious and peculiar treasure. He says, they shall be as the stones of a crown. I will make a man more what? Precious than fine gold. Even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. There's nothing that is more valuable than a human being. Not only on earth, but in the entire universe. Christ paid a high price for us, didn't he? Undescribable, unimaginable, what he did for you and for me. And it continues, Christ looks upon his people in their purity and perfection as the reward of all his sufferings, his humiliation and his love, and the supplement of his glory. Christ, the great center, from whom radiates all glory. And talking about character. And it's the oops, sorry about that. This is the treasure for which Christ bids us to labor. Character is the great harvest of life. And every word or deed that through the grace of Christ shall kindle in one soul an impulse that reaches heavenward, every effort that tends to the formation of a Christ-like character is laying up treasures where? In heaven. Every time we are able to share, every time we're able to love, every time we're able to do something for somebody else and encourage them to look where? Up, heavenward, and not down, and focus on the things that are happening, that are constantly changing, and yes, creating great anxiety. We lay up treasure in heaven. What a privilege. What a privilege. What a privilege God has given us to do this work of love for others. And in this passage, we find Jesus basically telling us, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. What is he saying here? The way I took it is you can't serve. Well, you can try to serve, but it's impossible to do it. And in fact, if you had a choice to put your faith in something that is constantly changing, people, economy, the world, or to put your trust in somebody who has promised always to be the same, where would you put your trust? Wouldn't we want to put our trust in something that is consistently the same all the time? No matter what's going on around us, he's always there. That's what Jesus was telling his disciples. In fact, verse 25, he tells them, "For this reason I say to you, do not be what? Anxious. Do not be worried for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than what? Than food, and the body than clothing." Look, he invites us to do. Behold the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Are we worth more, brothers and sisters? We are worth more. And if we look at the world and what it has to offer, it doesn't offer much stability, does it? Not too long ago, we saw the Twin Towers. That's an image that a lot of us still have in our mind, crumbling before our eyes. Some of us in 2008 lost 50% of what the value of our house was. And if we had a retirement fund, 60, 70%. It comes and it goes. But God is always the same, constant. He never changes. And he invites us to look at his creation. He invites us to see the things that he has done. Growing up, my mom, praise God for moms, amen? We just celebrated Mother's Day not too long ago. And very soon we're going to be celebrating what, brothers and sisters? Father's Day, important, very important. When I was in second grade elementary school, my mom had still not completed high school. In fact, when I graduated from high school, we kind of graduated together. We did. She left Cuba at age 21, but with communism coming into power, she was not able to study with the rest of the kids. She stopped studying, I think, in her 7th or 8th grade. But she finished school. She finished high school. But if there was something that she was able to teach me, was to look at the birds in the sky. Look how God takes care of them. And if he can take care of those birds, Sam, he can take care of you. I remember her taking my sister and I for walks in Bering Springs, Michigan, around the apartments, Maplewood, Beechwood, Garland, and walking through these sidewalks and looking at these evergreens that were around the building. And she would point to the little nests there. And look, there's a nest. And that's a robin. And look at the egg. And it was sky blue. It was beautiful. And I would peek my head in there and go, wow. And God made that. And that would give me comfort. That would give me a sense of awe for our Creator. And in my innocence, I would want to share this with my friends. Say, hey, guys, look what we found. And I would then be distressed because I would see them go, let's get that nest. Let's take it home. Look, let's grab one of those eggs. And I would say, no, don't do that. My mom tells me this story. I can't remember. But she said one day she saw me being dragged by these kids because I was trying to stop them from hosing them down from that tree. They had this water hose. And I was like, no. But a bigger thing, a greater thing is what God does for his creatures. Amen? He takes care of them. He feeds them. He gives them a home. He sustains them day by day. In the same book, Thoughts on the Mount of Blessings, we are encouraged to do this. Fathers and mothers, let your children learn from the flowers. Take them with you into the garden and field and under the leafy trees and teach them to read in nature the message of what? God's love. Let the thoughts of him be linked with bird and flower and tree. Lead the children to see in every pleasant and beautiful thing an expression of what? God's love for them. Recommend your religion to them by its pleasantness. Let the law of what? Kindness be in your lips. What a privilege to be able to share this with our children. Let them know that there is a God who can take care of us. In fact, Jesus continues telling us here as he talked about the flowers of the field. Observe the lilies of the field and how they grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so raised the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Do not be what? Anxious then, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or with what shall we clothe ourselves? Do not be what? Anxious. Do we feel anxiety today? I don't know about you, but when I look at tomorrow, it scares me. It bothers me. And probably the reason why it bothers me the most is because I can't see it. I don't understand it. It always surprises me. It's never what I think it's going to be. And God invites us not to worry about what? Tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry what you will what? Eat. Don't worry what you will drink. Don't worry what you will wear. Don't worry. I can take care of you. If I can take care of the birds, if I can take care of the fields with the flowers, I, says God, can take care of you. Is that the God we trust? That's the God we trust. Someone who is always beside us. Pastor Tim Jones has been sharing with us devotional thoughts every day. Praise God for that ministry. He shared on Tuesday the following. The promise, and I'm going to go right here. The promise of God's abiding presence with us brings the most comforting truth in times of trouble or distress. Regardless of the nature of the obstacle that we confront, God is greater, and he is the one who has promised to hold our hand. A little child is insecure and vulnerable when walking alone through crowded streets with traffic and other pedestrians. But when the hand of a father is holding that child, all insecurity fades away, and the child feels safe and protected. God, who is the creator of all that we can see and beyond, the most powerful and loving force in existence, has promised to hold our hand. With our hand in his, we can go anywhere, do anything, and not be troubled by the surroundings. As long as we hold onto his hand, all is well, and there is no need to fear. Probably shared the story about myself when I was living in Mexico. Some of you here probably heard it before, but I want to share it because that story, this passage that he just shared with us this week on Tuesday, reminded me of an experience that I had in Mexico. It was our first house. My parents were building a house in a place called Monte Morelos, Mexico. My dad was teaching there at the school. We were living inside the university, and we were building this house out of cement blocks and lots of cement in a little place called Maranata. It was about half a mile from where we lived. And I remember going to this place. It had no windows, no doors. It takes a little longer to make houses in Mexico. It had a gate around it to protect it. No floor. But it was our house. And I was there to see it go up, and they had just put the roof, and I was so excited about being there. And I can remember that day, clouds started to come, and it got darker and darker, and the wind started to blow, and it started to rain. And I can remember just the force of that rain coming down. All of a sudden, there was puddles, and the puddles became little streams and rivers almost. it seemed, and thunder, lightning. And then I knew my mom was home. And I knew that she was waiting for me. And I knew that she would probably be worried if I didn't get home. So off I went. I started to walk. And I walked that day back home for half a mile with a smile. I was at peace. And the reason why I went home with a smile and at peace, even though I was, I think, 10 years old, 11 years old, was because my father, Samuel Nunez, same name, he was with me. He was right beside me. I had no fear. It was pouring. My clothes was wet. It was half a mile away from home, but my father was with me that day. He wasn't always able to be with me. He worked. He taught. But there is somebody who is always with us, isn't there? There is someone who is always with us. And he's promised to be with us. And he invites us not to worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. In fact, that's how Jesus finishes. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And I want to finish with this little poem that I found in one of the websites that John C. Maxwell has. And it's called Today. And I want you to think about these words. As we look at tomorrow, maybe we should start thinking about what? Today, as Jesus tells us. Today is the most important day of my life. Yesterday, with its successes and victories, struggles and failures, is gone forever. The past is past, done, finished. I cannot relive it. I cannot go back and change it. But I will learn from it and improve my today. Today, this moment, now, it is God's gift to me, and it is all that I have. Tomorrow, with all its joys and sorrows, triumphs and troubles, isn't here yet. Indeed, tomorrow may never come. Therefore, I will not worry about tomorrow. Today is what God has entrusted to me. It is all that I have. I will do my best in it. I will demonstrate the best of me in it, my character, giftedness, and abilities. Isn't that what we're taking to heaven, brothers and sisters? That's what we're taking. To my family and friends, clients and associates. I will identify those things that are most important to do when? Today. And those things I will do until they are done. And when this day is done, I will look back with satisfaction at that which I have accomplished. Then, and only then, will I plan my tomorrow, looking to improve upon today with God's help. Then I shall go to sleep in peace, content. Amen. Amen. Today is what we have. Look around you. Enjoy the things that God has given us. Amen? Store treasures where? In heaven. Seek to improve what? Our character. And above all, trust God. He's the only one we can trust, correct? He's the one who's always there for us. He's the one who's promised to be with us all the way till the end. And he promised to come soon again. Amen? Amen. We're going home, brothers and sisters. Amen. Vernon, Kathy, tell Tom we're going home soon. We're going home soon. It's only a matter of time. And God invites us all to trust him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. not to be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Amen.